This is the 5 o'clock focus on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
Hey! Somebody got married!
Oh, wow. I wasn't expecting that.
Kyle Wallace, we have a picture that we're actually putting up right now on the live stream.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Your bride is beautiful.
Yeah, I know. That's why I had to snag her. You know what I'm saying?
You did good.
I'm not getting any handsomer as I get older. So I had to trick her.
Kyle wore the James Bond kind of tux, and his wife has this beautiful like lace off the shoulder dress.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think when you saw her?
Beautiful. I started crying.
Me too.
Yeah.
I
couldn't hold it. I thought I was holding it in, but then her uncle showed me a picture of myself, and my face was just quivering.
Oh.
I said, oh my gosh. The funny part is that my brother was behind me because he was my best man, and he handed me his handkerchief, and I started using it, and everybody said he was crying too, but I didn't see. And so I was like, well, thanks for the sacrifice, but no, it was a beautiful day. It went by too fast.
Congratulations.
But, that shiny ring looks good on your finger. Is it weird getting used to it? Like, are you playing with it? Are you futzing with it?
I futz with it a lot. The problem is shout out to Paul's Jewelers. They hooked me up with a great ring, but the problem is they asked me, they said, hey, are you sure? It looks like it may be a little bit too big. And I said, no, my fingers will swell up in the summertime. I need to get it a little bit tighter because I don't want to be playing with it. But no, I love it. It has gold with some diamonds in it.
It's very pretty.
She got diamonds. I want some diamonds too.
Yeah. Where'd you go on your honeymoon?
So we went to the DR. We went to a place. Punta Cana is about 90 minutes south of where we went, Meeches. And so just all inclusive. All we did was eat and have a good time.
How long? Let's just do this for the segment.
Text watch if you want to see the beautiful photo.
Yeah, text watch to 855-616-1620. You can see dapper Kyle and his beautiful bride. What's her first name again?
Danny.
Danny Wallace. Yeah,
I call her baby girl.
Oh, that's really nice. How long have you known her? How'd you meet her?
And so, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
So we met during the pandemic, online initially, and then, we went our separate way. I never met her. We didn't talk, but we were friends on social media. And then during the 2020 election, I liked some of the things she was posting. I said, okay, I like where your mind's at. And that kind of started the conversation. And then, fast forward to June of 2021, I asked her to be mine's. And then
that was quick.
Well,
I took 10 years of vetting before
to get in a relationship.
Engaged.
No.
Okay.
And then I got engaged in June of 2025. It was not quick for it. I mean, 10 years is a long time, but
half that time.
That's
a
long
you.
Time.
But
that's
yeah. But yeah, four and a half years was she was more than ready.
Who was in love first? You or Danny?
I said I love her first.
So. I made Jason do the same thing too.
You made him.
Well, I wanted to say I would go. Jason would be parked. He'd be dropping me off at my apartment. I said, "I really, 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 really like you," and he'd be like, "I really like you too." And I'm like, "No, I really like you."
So for us, we were out partying. We're still younger. We partied downtown a little bit more, and we were out, having a good time. And we were walking her back to her sister's apartment in downtown Milwaukee, and I just said it, I was under, I had a little liquid courage.
And
but,
it just came tumbling out. You felt it.
Well, yeah. I said, baby, I love you. That's exactly what I told
you. That's what my husband did. He did it like as an aside.
Yeah, I do. And I really did. I knew very early on that she was going to be the one.
When did you say I love you, John? Did you do it first?
I don't remember. I've been married 36 years.
It's been a while for him.
That's a good question, and I don't want to give the wrong answer and have my wife correct me when I walk in the door.
No.
I knew right away, though. I loved her from the second I saw her.
That's the crazy part about it, because when I did meet her, I wasn't looking for a long time. I was looking for a good time. I was too young. I was still handsome. I could still find people. So I was like, and I remember when it clicked to me, I said, Uh-oh, the streets might be over. And
I better
you don't know
lock
what
this in.
What does that mean?
The streets are, because when you go down the street, there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so as a young man, handsome, pretty successful in my career at the time, the streets, as in there was a lot of women out there I could have picked from, but I knew, I said, uh-oh. I said, this feels different. And I said, this is different. Wow. And at that point, I realized it was time to retire from the streets and be with the love of my life. And it was, I don't regret it. And when we talk about the wedding, you love somebody. But then on the wedding day and then after the wedding, I'm not a super emotional person. very often. But when I had time to reflect, I was like, wow, this is amazing. Like, all these people coming to celebrate this. So it's a beautiful thing. So if you ever fall in love, don't be afraid of getting married, because it gets better.
I felt the same way after my wedding. The whole flight to Hawaii, I cried the whole way. And then we had a dolphin excursion. When I saw the dolphins, I bawled even more. And Jason said, okay, you need to stop crying, or people are going to say concerned, that they want you to marry me.
He said, I'm not doing this forever. I'm not crying. I'm listening to crying forever.
I didn't want the honeymoon to end.
I'm so thankful. Oh, good. I'm glad you had
a good time. Kyle Wallace, congratulations. We're really happy for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Rock and roll, the color wars. I can't take it anymore. We didn't start the
fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. The smartest political guy in Wisconsin is with us on the line. He is Charles Benson. Charles, before we get to all that politics nonsense, who said it first? Did you or did Sharon say I love you first?
Yeah, so I heard you guys talking about this and made me kind of think. I think we kind of fell into that about the same time. But I think Sharon will tell you, you know, what took me so long to ask her to marry her. So
yeah, because she was ready.
Oh, my gosh.
She was, yeah. Yeah.
Charles.
So kind of like, what's going on?
Charles,
yes.
Remember when you told me how you met your wife? On the dance floor, cutting a rug.
Yeah.
Charles has the dance moves.
Well, I didn't say that part. Just because I was dancing doesn't mean I had the moves, that's for sure.
Well, you do. You got the girl.
Well, it worked, yeah. But it might have been the dimples or something. I don't know.
Hey, Charles, we've been waiting to talk to you about the finance reports. When you look at the money that's reported and you take into account what's happened this week with Sarah Rodriguez, what would you kind of say stands out about the state of the race on the Democratic side for governor right now?
Well, the money tells us who the front runners were and are. It would be Mandela Barnes and Francesca Hong, based on the dollars that they were able to raise. What it also tells me is how difficult it is to raise money when you have a crowded primary. You know, you're going out there getting donor after donor, trying to, you know, someone might give $5, $10, $100 here, but you know, they would have all loved to have had millions to get up there and get start spending on TV. The one who was most successful on the Republican side was Tom Tiffany, but he was able to benefit from the state GOP party, you know, putting in about $6 million into his campaign fund. So, but I think it says that the race, based on the financial numbers, that it's between Mandela Barnes and Francesca Hong. Having said that, everybody was looking at what was going on with Sarah Rodriguez after she said, after she fired her campaign manager, alleging that the campaign finances had been mismanaged. And the number that stands out is that she was at $35,000 after the first 6 months of how much she had left in the bank. And then the indication is that she has still been able to go out there and raise some other money, but she's way behind where she would want to be, given that she had, she had front runner status. She was in position there. She had momentum a week ago. You know, we were talking to her because she had just picked up David Crowley's endorsement. Prior to that, she had got Missy Hughes. So when you look at endorsement type stuff, she got two of her former rivals to back her campaign, and then wham, hit with this situation around her finances and firing her campaign manager as she was looking to go into the final 4 weeks with a message and potentially some momentum here towards August 11th.
So Charles, as we looked up today in our big studio TVs here, she is on the air here in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
She has 35. Talk about Sarah Rodriguez. Sarah Rodriguez is on the air here. She's only got $35,000 cash on hand. And everybody's trying to figure out whether or not this misstep is a blow that could kill her campaign. But she's on the air. What do you think it looks like for her?
But remember, she wanted to be on a week. She wanted to be on the air a week ago.
Right.
And her campaign buy isn't as big as what we're seeing with what Mandela Barnes is doing or what Kelda Royce is doing. Joe Brennan isn't up right now, but has some money left to try to get back up on TV. So everybody's looking at, well, how much did they raise? And I looked at how much do they have left.
Right.
And right now it's Francesca Hong and Kelda Royce that are sitting on, you know, some good money right now to help make that final push. Because, yeah, TV ads are really important. It helps, you know, get the message out there a lot faster and through social media. But so is organization. So is trying to, you know, rally the troops and get everybody in place to get out that vote, whether it's in-person absentee or making sure absentee ballots are going to people who want to vote or getting them out on election day. So that takes organization. You know, none of these candidates have the ability of using the party, the Democratic Party, because the party is not involved in the primary process. Whoever gets through the primary process will then be able to, you know, tap into the full backing of the party. So it's all about now trying to, you know, get that message out. And if you've got money, it helps you do that.
We have one member of our Good Karma Brands team that has an outstanding interview that has not been canceled by Rodriguez. Have you reached out to the Rodriguez campaign? Have they said anything to Charles Benson?
Well, I you know, I talked to him last week when, you know, before all of this was happening. I have been emailing them because I was trying to find out how big is this campaign by? Where are they buying? Is it just Milwaukee? Are they up in Green Bay? Yeah, I mean, at this point, if you have limited funds, you're probably going to hit the biggest markets. But if the others can hit statewide, you know, potentially they can pick up more votes. So, yeah, I'm waiting to see, you know, how they have this plan going forward. And as they have announced through press releases, you know, they think they're still going to have to amend their financial reports here. And so, you know, will there be more stories coming out about the financial reports that she'll have to address versus addressing where she might stand on a particular issue or how to navigate the final few weeks to pick up votes?
Charles Benson is the senior national political reporter for Scripps News, the chief political reporter for TMJ4, and the guy who almost waited too long to ask his wife to marry him. But he landed the girl at the end.
It's those dimples.
Thanks, yeah, guys. That's for sure. Yeah. And apparently a good dancer. Charles, thank you. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks.
I like a lot of things about Charles. I'm not thinking he's much of a dancer.
It was so great. His story's so good.
It is a great story.
And
well,
was,
he's a great guy. He's a really good guy.
I love him.
You said it first.
Oh!
You just said it first. You said you love him.
I do.
Charles, Julia said that she loves you. Fantastic.
All right, anyways.
Well, you told Charles before you told your husband.
Yeah.
All right, we continue our conversations with the candidates that are running for governor. We had Kel DeRoys with us in the studio yesterday. We had Joel Brennan the day before that. We're talking to Mandela Barnes people. I think he's going to join us probably sometime next week. And as you can probably imagine, I believe Sarah Rodriguez is not doing interviews at this point, although we hope to have her on the show coming up here sometime shortly. So at the top of the hour, we let you know about some of the numbers, how much money has been reported. That was a big thing due yesterday. And we now have the totals for money that was raised and cash on hand for each of the candidates. Mandela Barnes reported that he earned $840,000 and has $200 on hand. Francesca Hong, $708,000 raised in the previous 6 months, $410,000 on hand. Joel Brennan reported he raised $665,000 with $359 on hand. Kel DeRoys, she raised $527,000 and has $400,000 on hand. Sarah Rodriguez, $561,000 raised, $35,000 is all that she has on hand. Francesca Hong joins us live. You can also text the word watch and you can see the interview. Francesca, thank you so much for being with us.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So the day after Sarah Rodriguez revealed her campaign had major financial reporting inaccuracies and issues, you released a statement that said in part, quote, "This is an example of why voters are suspicious of traditional politics and leaders who refuse accountability." My question is two parts. Are you saying Rodriguez is a traditional politician and you aren't? And despite her lengthy press conference, are you saying she's refusing accountability?
I think there will be folks who could see her as a traditional politician, and maybe even some folks who see me as a traditional politician. I think what I meant broader is that folks are pretty tired of politics as is, as it's resulted in some chaos here, especially when it comes to campaign finances. And when it comes to accountability, I applaud the lieutenant governor for, based on the information we have, acting swiftly. And we've always maintained accountability and honesty and transparency on our campaign. And these are the expectations and standards that we hold for everyone working on our campaign.
Based on what we know about this situation, should she drop out of the race, as many have suggested, including some of your opponents?
That is a decision for the lieutenant governor and her family.
Should she remain lieutenant governor? Is that disqualifying to be in office?
That is a decision for the people of Wisconsin. I think that and a conversation she'll certainly need to have with Governor Tony Evers.
Would it be better for your campaign if she were to drop out?
Our campaign is focused on reaching voters in every corner of the state. What will make our campaign stronger is continuing to have conversations with people in real life or on digital, just getting our message and our policy, our vision for permanent affordability to as many people as we can, and making myself available to as many voters as I can. I'm excited that I'm able to talk to your listeners today, too.
We have Francesca Hong, state representative running for governor on the Democratic side. Representative Hong, I wanted to ask you about your situation that was underlined by a lot of your competitors here. $30,000 in unpaid credit card debt. It has since been paid. How did that happen?
I'm a daughter of Korean immigrants, and my parents instilled in me the values of sacrifice. And my parents made an incredible sacrifice in helping me to make sure that that got paid off. It's one that significantly impacts all of our lives, but it is one that they ultimately chose to make.
How does that make you, if you can't pay your credit card debt, how can I trust you with handling billions of dollars in Wisconsin taxpayer money?
My credit card debt was paid off.
But didn't it go to court in order for you to finally pay it?
That case was dismissed, and the state budget is a democratic process, and a sign of a good leader is one who surrounds themselves with the expertise and the different lived experiences and people who will make sure that you are navigating and stewarding taxpayer dollars responsibly. I think that building trust into our politicians, it's imperative that the politicians see themselves as a public servant first, and I'm held accountable to the public, and I will continue to hold myself accountable to the public, both in the campaign and if I become governor.
Francesca Hong is with us on WTMJ. So the polling shows that one of the things voters care a lot about is safety, security, law enforcement, those sort of issues. In 2020, you posted on X this: police exist to uphold white supremacy, defund the police, then abolish. Reform can't be an option. You still believe that police should be defunded and then abolished?
Right now, I think that we have a system where the Epstein class roams free, and our police officers are having to respond to mental health crises. They're having to respond to crime, where I think that if we are to be tough on crime, we must be tough on causes. And I am serious about public safety. Everyone deserves to feel safe. And we'll be working with local governments and communities all across our state to make sure the local governments have the resources that they need to fund essential services. And this includes our public schools, out-of-school programs, making sure that there's addiction services and mental health resources readily available, regardless of where you live in our state. I think that a reaction to crime, we need to make sure that we're investing in preventing crime and ensuring that every community has what they need to feel safe.
So you didn't answer my question. So please, the question's very simple. Do you still believe police funding should be going away and then police should be abolished?
I do not believe that police funding should go away, and I do not think that the police can be abolished. Right now, I am focused not on governing by slogan, but passing the policies that we know will ensure that people, all of our communities feel safe, are safe, have access to good jobs with good benefits, our kids have great schools to go to, and that people are able to take care of themselves, have what they need to take care of themselves and their loved ones.
So we're talking to State Representative Francesca Hong, who is running for governor. Representative Hong, you embrace socialist policies. You're a member of the Assembly of Socialist Caucus, and you identify as a democratic socialist. So I just want you to describe what that means, because as a Republican, there's a spectrum far right. As a Democrat, there's a spectrum far left. So what does a democratic socialist mean for you?
Being a democratic socialist means that for folks who may, people may be left or right, but what I'm focused on as a democratic socialist is to make sure that all people have what they need to live a dignified life, that we have good public services, whether it's trash removal and snow removal, that our local governments have the money that they need to do it, that we have a strong democracy. A strong democracy requires investment in public education, from our tech colleges to our K-12 public schools and early childhood education. Being a democratic socialist means that I'm less concerned about where you may identify politically, and you know whether or not you support me or vote for me, I still want you to have healthcare that you can afford, where your kids can go to a great school, that there are great public parks in your neighborhood, and that you have a good paying job with great benefits, and that we're protecting our public resources and protecting our whole state from corporate corruption and consolidation, where hospitals are closing and we're seeing data centers coming into our communities. So for me, this is about the values of putting working class, ordinary folks like myself first in government. And I think that uplifts everyone across the state.
We've only got a minute left. You raised a little more than $700,000 in the last reporting period. Republican Tom Tiffany raised almost $9 million. My question related to that is this bruising primary with so many people still involved hurting Democrats' ability to compete financially in November?
I think it's important to look at who donated to the congressman, how many donations he may have received. I do think that there are three very wealthy individual donors who may have cut some seven-figure checks. And for a bruising primary, you know, we are very much focused on making sure that we are the people-powered, community-powered grassroots campaign. We showed that with over 14,000 individuals who have donated, over 22,000 individual donations. We still have new donors contributing from our state to our campaign. That means I answer to the people and not the wealthiest donors. And I think the people of Wisconsin are ready for someone who is by the people and for the people and willing to make sure and say, sometimes even willing to make sure that it is having communities that are safer, where people are able to take care of themselves. And we have a state that puts folks first as opposed to profits and corporations first.
Assemblywoman Francesca Hong, she is a candidate on the Democratic side for governor. Assemblywoman, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me. I hope you all take care.